Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that it will be you who speaks this morning. And your Holy Spirit touch our hearts and minds so that we can understand what you've written in the Holy Scriptures. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? Some of us want to be out there walking, enjoying nature, and just enjoying life. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to be able to see it. It's beautiful to enjoy God's creation and to know that through his creation, he also speaks to us and lets us know how much he loves us. How many of you have tried to do something in the dark? Oh, I can find it. I don't have to turn on the light. Let me just find it. Now, where is it? Try to adjust our eyes to, and all of a sudden we bump into something. Oh, I tried to go from one apartment complex to this other one. There's a dark spot right here in the middle, light here, light over there. And what I decided was I was going to ride my bike. This is in Andrews, if anybody knows Beechwood, Maplewood. And right in the middle, there was this little open space. And there is a, well, I will tell you what it was there. So I decided just to pedal with my bike as fast as I could. Not that I was afraid, but I said, I'm going to go really fast. And when I got to that spot, all of a sudden I stopped. See, there's a big wooden picnic bench right in the middle. A picnic table. A huge one, a heavy one. My bike stopped. I kept going. I could not see it. God was good. Nothing happened. Nothing happened to the bike either. Surprised. But imagine not just being in the dark for a minute, an hour, a day, but being in the dark every single day of your life. Can you imagine that? It would be hard for us to imagine that. And some live this way. The story found in John chapter 9. The story of a blind man since he was born. And Jesus, yes, Jesus, he was walking in the city of Jerusalem. And he was going fast because he had things he needed to do. But all of a sudden, he stopped and he saw him there. Yeah, he was always at the same spot. He would put out his hand and he would ask for money. And he stopped and the disciples came over and said, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you stopping? He said, there is this man I need to see. And then the question. They all knew him. They'd seen him. They'd gone by him. Some maybe had given him some money. And they asked a question. Aren't you glad that you and I can ask Jesus questions? Even silly questions. Because this was a silly question. Who sinned? His parents? Or did he sin? And Jesus said, this man was born this way so that the power of God could be manifested through him. Amen? So the power of God would be manifested through him. They look surprised. If you have your Bibles, please open them to John chapter 9. Verse 4. And Jesus continued saying, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is what? Day. The night cometh when no man can work. Yes, there will come a time when no one will be able to do what they normally do. Jesus knew that his time was short. He knew that there was an important mission, an important message to be proclaimed. He knew that the darkest hour of earth's history was coming upon the earth, and that he would give his life for you and for me. On a cross, like a criminal, dying in my place, in our place. But there was work to be done. In fact, Jesus in verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am what? The light of the world. We do not have to be in darkness. Amen? Amen? Jesus is the light of the world. Is Jesus with us today through his Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. So there is work to be done. Amen? Lots. But there will come a time when this beautiful building where we meet to worship God, where freedom to worship God according to our conscience will be no more. A time that the Bible describes as a time of trouble like never before. So Jesus invited his disciples to work because there was still opportunity. It was still daylight. And verse 6 tells us when he had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. I want to think that Jesus was pondering, there is no time to lose. I'm not going to ask somebody to go out to the well. Who knows when they're going to be back? Get water. Let's put it on the ground. Let's make a little bit of clay. No, Jesus said, there's no time to be lost. He spit on the ground. He made some clay. And he anointed the eyes of this blind man. The creator of the universe, who made the first man, Adam, out of the dust of the earth. Could he create with that little clay, with that little mud, an optical nerve? Could he create a cornea? He could do marvels with it. And he anointed those eyes. He touched them. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved to do mud cakes. Anybody do them? Yeah, and you would just look at it and go, it's a chocolate cake. My sister, who's a mom, called me yesterday, Sam, I don't know what my kids are doing. I told them, go play outside. And she was watching them. She watches them like a hawk. And all of a sudden, she turned around. She said, I just went to the phone, and when I was turned around, look, there they were in the garden with a shovel, digging holes and pouring water into the hole, and they were getting all muddy. Jesus was not afraid to get his hands dirty. Amen?
Amen.
When things needed to be done, he did them. But he told this man to do something very special. Verse 7. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. A pool that was used for ritual bathing. A pool that was used for baptism. A pool where many people would go and wash themselves. A pool where most likely the religious leaders were going to witness what was about to happen. I don't know what this man was thinking. Wow, I got this on my eyes. I guess I have to wash it off. Get my face cleaned up again. He told me to go and wash at the pool. Okay. I don't know if you've ever had mud on your eyes. It's kind of hard to see. And even with a little bit of dust, if it gets inside your eye, what happens? It hurts and you see blurry. But there this man went, this young man. And it says that he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He washed. And I can only imagine him looking down into the water and all of a sudden going, wow, what's that? Who's that? Only to find out that it was himself. First time he had ever seen a human face. You think he kept it to himself? Oh no. He was happy. Hey guys, I can see. Look, I can see. Hi, who are you? And all of his neighbors started to run over and say, hey, what's happening here? Why are you so excited? Verse 8 tells us that they asked questions. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But what did he say? I am. It's me. I can see. Therefore they said unto him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. He obeyed. He trusted Jesus. Verse 12 says, then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. I know not. Has anybody ever helped you? And you wished you would have gotten at least his name or a phone number to thank that person. A stranger, a total stranger. Just, you were out there in a city, you didn't know where to go. And they came by and said, how can I help you? How can I help you? And they helped you and all of a sudden, they're gone. And you just wished you knew. I don't know. I know not where he is. Next thing the neighbors and the friends did, they brought them to the Pharisees. Verse 13, that him that aforetime was blind. And verse 14 tells us, and it was what? The Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. The religious leaders were not happy. They felt threatened by Jesus and by the way he kept the law. Is a Sabbath a day of joy and happiness? It's a day of joy and happiness. Is it a joy? Is it a day of healing and redemption? It's a day of healing and redemption. And this is what Jesus was trying to show. This is a special day in which you come in contact with a creator of the universe, but also the redeemer of the universe, who is willing to come and to do what you just have seen. But the Pharisees did not want to listen. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thy eyes? He said, he has to at least be a prophet. But the leaders did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. So they received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. I don't know about you, but when somebody called my parents and I was somehow involved, I was in trouble. Big trouble. And this was no kid. This was a young man. And he's like, you want my parents to come? Okay. Dad, Mom, I imagine somebody had gone over to the house, told them, and they were running over to that area to find out what had happened. And this is what the parents answered. Verse 19, and they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jewish rulers. The Jewish rulers had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. What did he do? Did he say, okay, I understand. You're not happy. You want me to be quiet? I'll be quiet. I've got what I wanted. I can see. Peace. See you later. Bye. Mom, Dad, let's go. When you have an encounter with Jesus, things change, don't they, brothers and sisters? There's a fearlessness, a boldness, a holy boldness that comes. And this young man experienced it. Dad, Mom, you're afraid? I'm not. I'm not afraid. And this is what he said to the Pharisees, a testimony of who Jesus was. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That I know. I was blind, but now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open his eyes? There must be a trick. I know there's something here. He answered them, I have told you already, and you do not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Do you want to be his disciple? No! They got mad at him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this man, we know not from where he is." The young man answered and said unto him, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, amazing, that you know not from where he is. And yet he opened my eyes." He opened my eyes. I can see. In verse 31, 32, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." He could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, "Thou was altogether born in sins, and thou dost teach us?" And what did they do? They cast him out of the synagogue. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus. It's not easy. Sometimes your friends will say, "You know what? I don't want to be your friend anymore." Sometimes it's family members who will say, "I'm sorry, but you're not part of the family anymore." It's hard. It's hard to be a follower of Jesus. But in those hard moments, he's promised to be by our side. Amen? He's promised to be there. In fact, I get courage from the verses that follow. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Does Jesus know our trials and tribulations? Yes, he does. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" What was his answer? "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Who is he? Do you know him? Have you experienced him? He's real. Who is he? And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He worshiped him. I can see him just going down on his knees, grabbing his feet, saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but I have been found. Praise God. Praise God." Does that happen today, brothers and sisters? Many today claim to see, to know. But they've been blinded by the things of this world. And many of us have received sight. Amen? And we can see the works of God and what he's doing in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Amazing, amazing grace. And the promise is that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? We need to share the good news. It's daytime, brothers and sisters. It's time to share. Time will come when it's going to be dark. No more time to share. May 27th. Through June 11. Let's share the good news. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends what Jesus has done for you. That's all he's asking. That's all he's asking us to do. And very soon, he's promised to come back. Amen.